From Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" The word of God, word of life.
You may not have known it, but today in Rome, Mother Teresa was canonized as a saint in the Catholic Church. The only reason I know that is that Ken's sister Joan and her daughter Kristen, our niece, went with a group from their church out in Maryland to be present for that incredibly spirit-filled occasion. Problem is that Joan, in visiting another church with her tour group in Rome, fell, broke her hip, and now is in a hospital in Rome, and she and Kristen watched the canonization this morning on television. But we finished our worship series on the book of Job, so moving right along. We've been walking our way through the Lord's Prayer for 4 weeks now, as Kathy mentioned, but I thought today it might be interesting, in honor of Teresa's canonization as a saint, to share a few words that she said about this prayer. The apostles asked Jesus to teach them to pray, and he taught them the beautiful prayer, the Our Father. I believe each time we say the Our Father, God looks at his hands where he has carved us. "I have carved you on the palm of my hand," she quotes from Scripture. He looks at his hands and he sees us there. How wonderful the tenderness and love of the great God. In comparison to last week's focus on the kingdom of God, this week's focus on our needs seems kind of anticlimactic. And yet, Jesus takes extraordinary care to be sure that he teaches us that there is no need that is outside of God's realm of care for us. In this prayer, we do see the wonderful tenderness and love that God has for us. In fact, a full three times the words of the prayer are devoted to God's responsiveness to our needs. If any of us thought that Christianity were otherworldly, this prayer helps us to see that God cares about the worldly. Jesus teaches us to ask God for our daily bread. So when you read this prayer as Luke shares it, you might simply be tempted to stop with the request, "God, give us this day." If we did that, if we started every day with those words, perhaps we'd realize that our days themselves are gifts from God, precious treasures to be experienced, to be lived, to be savored, for whatever they might bring. For anyone who has ever had a life-threatening illness or a debilitating accident, the truth of the prayer is real. Each day is a gift from God. But Jesus teaches us this prayer. In this prayer, Jesus teaches us to turn to God not only for the gift of our days, but for blessings to fill those days. When we pray his words, we invite God's eternal blessings to come into our real, linear, daily lives. Jesus' prayer addresses all of our concerns, those things that worry and plague us from the past, the needs that concern us in the present and the worries that we have about the future. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for our present needs, our needs in the here and now, whatever it is that we need to get through this specific day. Jesus is teaching us to trust that God will provide it. It's as if God invites us into his pantry to take anything at all that we need for the day. Like we'd grab a couple of granola bars and a carton of yogurt from the kitchen before we headed to school or headed out to work. But the prayer doesn't stop there. It's about the food and nutrition that we need each day, certainly, but also about the sleep that we need, about the health and mobility we need to get through the day, or perhaps the patience we need for whatever the day has in store for us, or the endurance for a long day, or as we head back to school, the mental acuity to learn, or as we head to our jobs, the energy to perform our assigned tasks. Depending on what we're going through, it might be friendship support that we need, or we might need the ability to say no to adding one more thing to our already full schedules, or perhaps we need the courage to say yes to a challenge that will develop us in good and healthy ways. In God's kitchen, I think we'd also be given time for prayer and a bite of scripture to chew on for the day. Give us each day our daily bread focuses on our present needs. When we pray, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, we're praying for the needs and longings from the past that are unresolved, things that are lingering with us in an unhealthy way, hurts and failings we haven't been able to shake. We're praying for God to help free us from things in the past that continue to inflict pain in our lives, things like guilt or blame. Forgiveness is as essential to our daily lives as bread is. None of our relationships could exist without the words, "I'm sorry and I forgive you." No marriage can survive, no family could stay together, no friendship could last without our ability to say those words to one another. And most of all, our relationship with God could never stand without God's forgiving grace to pull us back into relationship. Sin separates us from one another and from God. Forgiveness brings us back into tight relationship. When Jesus gives us these words to pray to our Heavenly Father, it's as if we're being invited into God's laundry room after we've tracked mud through the entire house or come in through the back door reeking of the spray of a skunk. God isn't afraid of any dirt. There's no smell that will send him running away from us. He will take us in hand and wash us as white as snow, as the psalmist once said. When we've been cleaned up, we won't have to be ashamed anymore. Our lives won't be bound up in chains to things that are already over and done with. And when we're in those clean, fresh-smelling clothes, we're more likely to act clean and nice, like Jesus, who gives us his righteousness in that sweet swap, our sins for his sinlessness. Being forgiven changes us because in order to be forgiven, we have to acknowledge that we've done something wrong, and only that knowledge can set us on a new course for the future, on a new course to try a different way the next time. That's when transformation starts to be possible. But sometimes God may want to wash our mouths out with a little soap too, not as a punishment for cussing, God doesn't work quite like that, but maybe to help us have sweet words to share with the people who have hurt us. For if shame can keep us from being all that God created us to be, so can blame, because it causes anger, and unchecked anger can consume all of the good that God has invested in us. So we need to let go of past hurts. We say we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, not so much as an act of generosity toward the ones who have inflicted hurt on us, but more out of a sense of gratitude toward our forgiving God, because we realize that we too are deeply indebted to God for our forgiveness. And like the servant who'd been forgiven his debt by his master, we're expected to be generous in forgiving the debts that others owe to us, no matter how big the debts are. In allowing forgiveness to release us from the past, we're preventing sin from having the last word. And we're being invited to help God turn the world away from the vicious cycle that we get into about retribution and revenge. Those things rule our worldly kingdoms, but we're invited to help God bring in a new kingdom, a reign of love and forgiveness and compassion and mercy. Finally, when we pray as Jesus taught us, we pray the words, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." When we pray Jesus' prayer, we engage God's protection in the future. Of course, what Teddy Bridgewater said after his knee injury set him on the bench for this whole season has some truth in it. He said, in order to have a testimony, you have to have a test. But we can't face those tests without the strength of our faith in a God who will protect us when we don't know what the future will hold, and a God who will comfort us when we're afraid of what's coming tomorrow. We don't ever know really what the future will hold, but by faith we know who holds the future. When I pray those words, I'd like to be able to imagine myself as a little child crying in the middle of the night, able to knock on God's door, and God says, "Come in," and gives me permission to climb up in bed and snuggle next to his warmth and his strength to be comforted as only a child can be, so that I don't have to toss and turn in the night with my fear of what the morning's going to bring. Praying this prayer that Jesus taught us gives us patience in the midst of our struggles and allows us to live and not be consumed by our fears. This prayer that Jesus taught us is the most marvelous gift we ever will receive from God, second only to the gift of his Son to free us. As Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, "The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In this prayer that Jesus gives us, we have been blessed to never have to worry about anything, past, present, or future, because we can turn to our God to help us with everything, all the time. Thanks be to God.